Hi guys, welcome back to We Should Talk, a pop culture interview series from In the Know. I'm your host, Gibson John, and today on the podcast we have Lauren and Mariah Smith, two of the three sister co-hosts of Smith Sisters Live on Sirius XM's Radio Andy, a radio show where they bring astute analysis of all things pop culture, because they both have extensive work experience writing on a variety of shows. They both worked at Watch What Happens Live, and so their analysis and discussion about pop culture topics amongst sisters is just, it's so fun to listen to, and if you have not checked it out, definitely go listen to it, because you know, it gets you thinking differently about the shows that we watch and the celebrities that we follow and all that. And it's just really fun. They have such a great dynamic and they're so smart. And I just loved getting to interview them. You know, we talked a lot about, you know, their dynamic, their show, how it came about, their relationship with Andy. We talked about some of the Kardashians because Mariah is one of the preeminent Kardashian experts. And then at the end, we talked about a bunch of different Housewives topics, Potomac, Miami, you know, the shows across the franchise. And yeah, it was just really fun to get to talk to them. And if you have not checked out Smith Sisters Live on Radio Andy on Sirius XM, I really encourage you to do so. It is worth the listen. And keep listening for my interview with Mariah and Lauren Smith. And please rate, review, and subscribe to We Should Talk on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so we are here with Mariah and Lauren Smith, two of the three sister co-hosts of Smith Sisters Live on Radio Andy on Sirius XM. Thanks for being here, you guys. I'm excited to talk.
Thank you for having us. This is always a pleasure.
Always. And shout out to Rachel, who could not be here, but I'll be Rachel for today.
You're a good comp.
Thank you so much. This is post Rihanna Super Bowl moment. How are we feeling morning after? I mean, I'm already seeing like it's pretty divided online in terms of what people are thinking about it. Since you guys always share your thoughts on pop culture moments, this is the biggest pop culture moment of the year, some might say. What are your thoughts?
Lauren? Okay, I'll start. First of all, I am wearing my red jumpsuit that is in honor of Rihanna because I saw that. I was like, I have just that. We'll be wearing it. Love her. I thought she gave us classic Rihanna, you know, like it's like Rihanna is not a 16 count girly. She's not a character shoe girly. She's not a Megan Knees girly. Like she is a vibes girly who has hits on hits on hits. I loved the platforms. I thought that was so cool. I loved her look with like the breastplate. I loved the pregnancy reveal. I love that she was so deep into her discography that she still had about 15 more hits she could have done. Exactly. And she left people wanting more. I thought it was phenomenal. And I also thought it was like really cool and chic the way that like her dancers were dressed in those kind of weird snowsuits. Like I just felt like the whole like everyone covered up but still being sexy and weird and cool was just so inventive and creative. And I loved it.
And I was telling my sisters earlier, I was like, I haven't even seen footage of Rihanna performing in forever. I didn't know what to expect. I couldn't remember what type of performer she was. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was fun to be like, that's who she is. Got it. Still love it.
Yeah, it's like to me, it was quintessentially her. And I think that the people who were saying it was boring or she gave us quote unquote nothing, like to me, like that's just people wanted her to give something that she was never going to give. You know, like that's just not what she, and like her, she hasn't performed live in a while, but her last tour, for her last album, it was pretty minimalist. Like the staging, the fashion, it's pretty, that's how she is these days. And I think that, I don't know, it's frustrating to see people who say it's boring. It wasn't for them. You know, it wasn't
going
to be
for them.
Not the target audience. And that's okay.
And like
just
okay.
How
exactly.
Just how the gang surrounding the performance wasn't for me. I'm not going to go online and say it was boring because I don't know what I'm talking about.
That's a really good point. I love that counterpoint. That's good. That's good. All right. So Mariah, so you write for Grown-ish. You've written on several other shows. You created Keeping Up with the Continuity Errors, which is always harken back to that because it was insanely popular at the time of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Yeah. Lauren, you were the lead writer on Black Lady Sketch Show. I know you just sold a show to ABC. Congratulations. Like,
thank you.
I guess I first want to know like what it's like to be two sisters operating in such, you're operating in the same world. It's extremely cool that you get to do that. But what's that like? And do you like commiserate together? Do you give each other advice? What's that like kind of as sisters?
Well, what's interesting is along with Rachel, we've all worked together in many facets of our careers since college when I interned for Rachel at Sesame Street. When I was out of college, I was a PA on shows that Lauren was producing or APing at VH1, MTV, like that whole thing. But now that we're both in this very specific and interesting TV writing business and host our show together, we talk all the time. We work on projects right. together. We're constantly in communication, like being like, do you know so-and-so? How did this happen? Like, how did this go with such and such? And it's nice to have someone who intimately knows what these spaces are like and at many different levels, many different rooms. And it's been a pleasure. I wonder if Lauren will say the same.
It is a pleasure. I would say the only funny thing is that sometimes we'll have experiences where I'll be talking to somebody and they'll be like, oh, we've met. Like we met to like interview about this show or whatever. And I'll be like, I don't remember that at all. Like a memory loss? And I'm like, that was Mariah for sure. And they're like, yes, sorry, that was Mariah. So that happens a lot too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So tell me about the show you sold to ABC. What can you tell me about that?
The show is called More and More. So I sold the pilot to ABC. Really excited about it. It's like inspired by the dynamic I love the most, which is sisters. And so it's about three sisters who older two are with women. And then the youngest one is single and she introduces her boyfriend to the mix. And everybody's like, wait a second. Like, how do we adjust to a man in the sibling group? We're all super close. What are we going to do with this guy? And just like, you know, sisters being sisters is ultimately about like, everyone can relate to like in-laws, siblings, family dynamics. When you have someone come into a family where everybody is way too close, and then comedy ensues from there.
I love it. So it's a sitcom.
Yeah.
Okay. Love it. The network sitcom is coming back, baby. So I'm agreed. Excited for that. That's amazing.
And that's my favorite kind of TV. So I'm very excited. 100%. Just officially that yes. I get to watch it, hopefully.
So you've worked together in several capacities over the years, but Smith Sisters Live must feel like it's, I mean, even just listening to it feels like we're just dropping in on three sisters kind of who are very knowledgeable about these topics, but like just kind of talking about and sharing their opinions. How did Smith Sisters Live originally come about? Because I know that you guys have various connections to Andy, but what was the sort of conception of the show?
Well, it started a while ago, I think in 2018, mm-hmm. When mm-hmm. we were still living in New York. Lauren and I both work at Watch What Happens Live. Lauren was a producer. I was a research producer. And we had, you know, it's such a close-knit community. We knew Andy, loved Andy. He knew sort of what we were doing and what we were getting into. And I forget the initial...
I think, honestly, we owe it to John Hill, the host of Andy Cohen Live. And he has the news with John Hill on Radio Andy as well. And he's a dear friend of ours, dear friend of Andy's. And I think he kind of mentioned, he was like, oh, like the Smith sisters, you should, because we hang out with him all the time. And he had the good thinking to be like, they should maybe do a radio show. So we did a test show and it was really fun. But then I immediately got hired on a show that moved me to Los Angeles. And we were like, we can't do it because we're not going to all be in the same place. This is pre-COVID when people are able to work from anywhere at all. Mm-hmm. And then so we were like, that was really fun. We loved it. But unfortunately, like now we're on two different coasts, different time zones, whatever. And then after the pandemic, when they sort of got into a rhythm with like, oh, our hosts are hosting from everywhere and from home, they're like, should we try it again? And we were like, we would love to.
Yeah, why not?
And we did. And immediately we're like, this is so fun. And it's to the point where like now when we have our like sister FaceTimes, which are like six times a day, basically. One time my mom was visiting me and my sisters and I were FaceTiming about something. I think they had just announced like the cast of The Color Purple movie or something. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about it. My mom was like, are you guys practicing for the radio? And we were like, we're just talking.
Like we're just having a conversation. I don't know what more to say, but it is so thrilling because we started as a weekly show. We did that for a couple of years and that we finally progressed to a daily show in January. And it was an interesting transition because our sister Rachel, she used to work in TV, used to be mm-hmm. in entertainment. And now we call her a private citizen. She does not work in TV at all. She has a corporate job. And so we're just grateful that she's allowing us to use her time and she's a new mom. So it's like a lot of stuff. But we're very happy that it worked out. We can do it from home. We can do it from different coasts. And it's a dream scenario.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you must, I mean, your mom, that's funny, but like you must feel that like actually those FaceTimes are kind of practice for the show. Like that it essentially is that. I mean, even though it's not like overtly, you know, when we're kind of just tapping into a conversation that you guys are having. And that's what it really feels like.
Totally. Yeah, we hope so, for better or worse. I would say for better or worse, because my sister can say, I get a little too comfortable and loose with the tongue and I have to rein it in and realize, oh, we are actually live on radio and this is not a private conversation. So it is a lot of just really getting to the heart of it, but truly it's a conversation. It is a conversation.
It really is. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I like that, because we talk so often just in life that sometimes we'll put out a call to our sisters and be like, do not watch X, Y, and Z or look at anything about it until so I can break it to you on the radio. Did you watch, like, you must watch X, Y, and Z before the radio. So we are in communication like that too, because it's like, I'm spoiling The Traitors on Monday. I like told them on a Friday, I said, you have until Monday morning to watch The Traitors because I'm talking about it.
And I mean, Rye, you bring up a good point, because I feel like these days, like a lot of celebrities, for example, will kind of like, they'll get in trouble for things they say on podcasts or things that, because in this audio format, you do sometimes forget like how many people might be listening, or because it is just kind of like an intimate, like we're on Zoom and we're just kind of, you know, shooting the shit. And you guys talk about like a lot of celebrity topics and real people. Do you ever worry about, again, like maybe saying too much or going too in on somebody or a certain topic? You know what I mean? Like, do you ever think about that, or can you not think about that given the nature of the job?
I think about it often, and the way that when I first started doing education continuity errors, keeping up with the continuity errors, I pride in myself. Sorry, my dog is
love it. I love a visitor.
Taking in the view.
He's staying in the view. But I realized, I was like, I want to still maintain and respect my brand of humor, and which is, I guess I would say, a little tongue in cheek, sometimes snarky, whatever. But my main baseline, my main rule of thumb whenever I write or talk about anyone is, I cannot be afraid to print out everything I said verbatim or print out my article and send it to them in the mail. Like, everything I say, it's just been so ingrained in us that we are going to, we stand by what we say no matter what it is, because we have thought a lot about it, whether it is in that moment or prior to. Like, we just feel confident, at least for me personally, that I'm not afraid or ashamed of anything I say. And if I am, I will apologize.
Right. And I think too, for us, because we all have worked in TV and have worked with like people who are public figures a lot, I think that gave us the experience and the realization that I think a lot of people honestly online don't have, which is that just because you see someone on TV or on Instagram or on a movie, that they're still a real person. Mm-hmm. And so when we are, you know, we talk about things in a critical way, and I mean critical in the sense that like we think critically, not that we are critical negatively all the time, but we also at our core remember that these are people, whether we know them personally or not, that also colors the way that we speak about people, because we still remember their humanity at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Even if we don't always love what they do, we're like, that's somebody's like cousin or, you know, or parent or child. Like, they're, we just kind of try to keep it to a level where we remember that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's something that I think about a lot of time with like with Housewives and stuff, because I tweet a lot about the Housewives, and it's like, because they're putting their lives out there, we think that we can just say anything about it. But you have to remember, you do have to remember. And I think that, you know, but I think on the other side of the coin, it's like, they are people who know that part of the gig is being talked about and being analyzed. Exactly. You know what I mean? Exactly. So it's kind of a balance there.
Absolutely.
So you guys were on Watch What Happens Live recently as bartenders, which was so fun. And I think what was so, you know, you provided all your thoughts on Housewives and stuff like that, but it's so clear from that moment how much Andy adores you, gets a kick out of you. And like, he just lights up when he talks about you guys and was talking to you guys in a different way, I think, than sometimes some of his other guests, how he reacts to them. What can you just talk to me about, like, your relationship over the years with him, and what is that rapport like? Because he really does seem to be like fully in your corner, and you obviously worked at his show for a little bit too. So just talk to me a little bit about that.
I think that we've known him since about 2015, 2014, maybe around then. I'm not positive, but it definitely, I think it's a testament just of how great of a person he is, how close he is to his staff and community and all the people who come through Watch What Happens Live. And also there's a lot of longevity at Watch What Happens Live, and that's not in any small part due to Andy. So I think that he gets us, we get him, and we're thankful that he gets us and appreciates us. And also, we're from St. Louis, he's from St. Louis, and Rachel and I actually went to the same high school as Andy. And like, our, you know, he's just kind and generous and wants the best for those around him and wants to uplift people. And we're just so thankful for him. And he's just a good, funny, silly guy.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Agreed. Mm-hmm. And that workplace culture at Watch What Happens Live is so wonderful. Like Mariah said, because people love working there, you really, it's not like people like jump in and they're like, oh, I worked there for like 2 weeks or 3 months or right. whatever. Like we worked there for a long time and everyone there is just so creative, so talented, so brilliant. Like the way that people's minds work at that show is so incredible. And I think that's a testament. It's a testament to how brilliant, how creative, and how insightful Andy is, and that trickles down. And so it's like attracts like. And so mm-hmm. I think we just kind of like have the same like celebratory approach to pop culture. Like you can tell when you watch What Happens Live that like Andy loves culture.
Yes, totally. Yeah.
And so do we. And so it's like cool when you see someone that like has the same, you know, really excited approach to it, as opposed to just being like, I didn't like that. I didn't like that.
Like
I
tearing it that. Down. Like yeah, that. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah, and totally. I also think one of the like greatest things that's happened to me is I remember in I think 2020 or 2021, 2020, Andy called me and was like, listen, they want me to do the Kardashians reunion. I'm not doing it unless you come help produce. And I was like, that is something that you would never think is happening. And he trusted my opinion. He trusted what I had to say. And he puts like, he knows when he needs help with something or needs like a closer eye, but that's just someone, he's someone who cares, wants you to succeed, and knows also like the better, the more successful and happy the people are around him, the better and easier it makes his job. So he's just a genius.
I was going to bring up that, I was going to bring up that reunion next. I think it's so cool. I remember him mentioning that you were a part of it or at some, I don't know when it was, but I remember finding that out and I was like, of course, like that just makes such perfect sense. But I think that also the way that you talk about the Kardashians, the way that he treats the Kardashians is kind of indicative of what we just talked about, which is I think that they are such easy people to try to tear down. And that's what like 99% of the internet does. But ultimately, like I'm on your side of things, which is like, it's more interesting to analyze them from like a cultural perspective and like the how things revolve around them and their impact, whether that's conscious or subconscious. Like that to me is indicative of how you are on the same page in terms of how you approach pop culture topics. You know what I mean?
100%.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Did they ever find out about, did they ever read your column? Do you know anything about that?
I think they did. One of my favorite moments was when I was working at Watch What Happens Live, Khloe Kardashian came and someone introduced me to her and like we were talking, they were like, Mariah does Keeping Up with the Continuity Errors, and her makeup artist at the time was like, oh yeah, we love that. And then Khloé was like, oh my God, so how many do we have? Like, I don't think she understood what it was about, but they've seen it. And I've heard from people on their team and like listening, I think they know about it at least in theory. And I'm not quite sure they understand what the continuity
is. But I bet you they, knowing how they have reacted to certain things in the past, they probably appreciate just like you engaging on it, you engaging with it on a different level than other people.
Yes.
Totally. So, okay. So for people who have never listened to Smith Sisters Live, explain what a typical episode is like. And maybe do you see the three of you kind of each playing a different role in terms of what you bring to a conversation?
Definitely. So a typical episode will basically start out with like the news of the day, like pop culture news, quick hits. And then we'll either do one or two deep dives, which is basically where we give you the story behind the story because of our experience. Like Mariah and I work in TV. We've worked on sets, on scripted shows, on live shows. I worked on a ton of reality show reunions where I've been there in the back, you know, behind the scenes. Dream. Rachel was a talent coordinator for Sesame Street for many years. So like, we use our contextual knowledge and just being extremely online-ness to be like, okay, so what we saw this week was this, but here's how it fits in with the larger picture of how the celebrity has behaved in the past or how they seem to maybe behaving in the future. We play clips or maybe things that aired that week maybe, or also of like historical clips from that celebrity, or will it be like, oh my gosh, I remember 6 years ago, I heard them on a podcast talking about this relationship. Now here's all the breadcrumbs that lead us to this place. We'll often take calls from people who are listening to the show. We'll even do sometimes a question for the room that's like inspired by pop culture. So for example, if like somebody on Housewives does something, we'll be like, oh, what era are you in based on something that happened in pop culture or something like that? And I think we definitely do play different roles because we each have things that we're really interested in. Like Rachel is our music expert for the most part. Mariah is the Kardashian and reality expert for the most part. I would say I'm like our brick and mortar and prestige television. And like our legacy A-listers, like our Reese's, our Angelinas, are that type of person. And then we also have major holes in our knowledge. Like, for example, on an episode we just recently did, Mariah admitted she's never seen any of the Sister Act movies. And we're like, oh my God.
Mariah, please. What the heck?
I just, again, as Lauren said, she is the legacy. I'm working my way through. I spend my time watching. I'm rewatching True Blood right now. That's all I have.
So you're a rewatcher. Okay. Yes, got it. Yes. Okay.
But then I didn't know Lil Uzi Vert by his face.
So she thought his name was Tiki Taki.
Yeah, because I got the bad information. So we like, you know, rib each other. Sure. We have our shared loves. And then we also have our places where we educate each other on the things that we like. And I think people like hearing, you know, we're three sisters, and I think we all very firmly sit in the kind of typical textbook sibling stereotypes as far as how we interact. And so hearing that on the air, I assume it would be triggering for me maybe as a sister, but people seem to like it just fine.
What is the order of oldest to youngest?
I'm the youngest. Rachel's the middle. Mourn's the oldest. Got it.
Okay. So yeah, I come from a big family as well. And birth order to me, it is triggering because I think it's very indicative of behavior.
Where are you in the lineup?
I'm a middle. I'm 3 out of 4. Yeah.
Oh, but wow.
My mom thinks that because I was the youngest for 3 years, so until my sister came, that sort of also impacted me as well.
Yes.
So I truly believe in it.
Is interesting. Yeah, totally. That's a very, wow.
I believe in the power of big sisters so firmly. I think that oldest daughters can do anything on this earth.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that. And youngest. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm curious for you guys, because I don't really know that much about like writing on a show in terms of what you have to do to sort of be up to date and prepare for that. And I'm wondering, because obviously this is so current event, pop culture based, Smith Sisters Live is. What's the difference in terms of, you know, staying up to date for the radio show and kind of staying current for a show that you write on? Is there like a, do you have to just stay current in terms of like how people talk, or like how do you, well, I don't know. Like, I don't know how that works.
No, it is similar to that. So I write on Grownish, which is a show about kids in college. So right. I am not in college, but I have to, sorry, hold on. Sprinkles. Sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, I'm just gonna pick
him. Come on. There's something fun happening outside that window.
Yeah.
Okay. So I write on Grownish, and it basically is like I'm on TikTok constantly, right. So that's helpful in the fact that I can still, I have that language just lingering in my mind as anyone who spends 78 minutes a day on TikTok does at minimum. But also it's just observing how people interact, like just understanding language, like would this person speak like this, and thinking of people in your life and seeing, oh, well, my mom, her cadence or talking pattern is like this. And then that's how she would react to something I say.
Right.
So it's basically observing people and culture, which also is what we do for the show, mm-hmm. for the radio show.
Mm-hmm. And for me, because my job is now at a point, because I have a deal at a studio, so my job is to like basically like develop and create shows. I like to know what's out there, so I just watch a ton of TV to like see what are the trends. Like, are people, you know, like you said, network sitcoms are making a comeback, and really people are really investing in them in a different way, or not writing them off in the way that they used to. And they've always been good, but we're looking at them differently. So just like seeing what's out there, and also really remembering and just like seeing what life is like, because we live in Los Angeles. Like, my life by definition, because we have a radio show and write for TV and live in LA, my life is weird and atypical compared to like most people, sure. You know, and it's weird and atypical for many reasons. Like, I don't drive, so that's atypical. So I try to remember the things that are unique to me and make sure I'm always like engaging with and seeking out experiences that are different from my own quirky ones, so that I'm not just writing from my limited perspective, and I'm writing in a way that can be relatable to a broader audience, where you don't just have to live like in Los Angeles being a pedestrian and having two dogs. Like, I want to be like write for not just me.
Right, because it's almost like on your radio show, like you can each kind of fill in the gaps for each other, but mm-hmm. for writing you almost have to be knowledgeable about a little bit more.
Okay, so I want to switch gears a little bit. So my bread and butter is Housewives, is Bravo. That's my life. And I'm just, you know, I feel like there's a lot going on in the Bravo world right now. A lot that's good, I think. But where do each of you sort of stand generally with Housewives across franchises? What's working for you? What's not working for you? Because I know you do some analysis of that as well.
Personally, I am hands down Vanderpump Rules. I don't care what anyone says, is my favorite show on television. I think it premiered so strong with season 10. That is I could wax on about how that is the blueprint for how to make a perfect reality show. So Vanderpump Rules, I do Potomac, Miami, Beverly Hills, dip in and out of Salt Lake, will occasionally hit the Below Decks, do some Southern Charm, but the ones I won't miss are Potomac, Miami, and Vanderpump.
That's a pretty good trifecta.
Yeah. And New York
when it is, exactly. What about for you, Lauren?
I watch a lot of the same things. I agree that Vanderpump Rules is just the jewel in the crown for a lot of reasons. I love, love, love Potomac and have loved it from like the second I laid eyes on it. I was like, oh, this is how, to me, Potomac was, we had something perfect in the Housewives, which is that the concept of the Housewives, perfect. It was being done very well by New York and Atlanta, being done. And Potomac is like the person, like it's like how Mariah thinks of herself in the sibling order, where it's like you had like two great kids and then you had the youngest that's like you really got it right. That's how I feel about Potomac. Like it is like the perfect iteration of a Housewives franchise for so many reasons. I think Below Deck is underrated and all of the Below Decks, especially Below Deck Med. Mm-hmm. I love Beverly Hills, love Salt Lake City. I don't miss them. I love Miami as well, and was not an original viewer of the first two seasons or first three seasons, and I think it was fantastic. So I am obsessed. My only criticism is that now, because we've been watching, I started watching Bravo basically as an assignment because I was working on a show called Fashion Queens on Bravo, so I had to start watching Atlanta because I didn't have Bravo, so I started watching it then. And now it's harder for me to have as much fun when our timelines get overlapped, where it's like I'm watching it play out on Instagram while I'm 6 months behind from the show. Like I wish that I could still have that pure, just linear experience. That would be my only complaint about where we stand right now.
I'm with you. I think that we're in a pretty good position in terms of being Housewives fans, but I think that, you know, I think Instagram in particular is like, it's impacted the shows in terms of how they act and what they want to look like and all that. But it also, what you just said, it complicates the timeline of things. And I like a good like Housewives Twitter spat like here and there.
But it's
to reflect sort of what's happening on the show at any given time. Right. And that's something they're running into, I think, with the Summer House, Southern Charm world. It's like they film Summer House and then they film Winter House, and then Summer House airs and then Winter. It's very confusing.
It's so much. And it's also like the conversations of like when we were in New York, when we last saw it, it's like things that they're still trying to dance around. Like clearly they've been talking about the reunion, and it's like they're trying to dance around the production terms, or, you know, but then it doesn't, it's almost like we need to completely remove the veil and keep it at that, or really double down and nail it and rein it in on keeping the essence of the show it is, and keep that. You know.
And I think that's sort of something about that is what makes Miami work so well right now, is that to me, it's like such a combo of old school and new school.
Yes.
And it's kind of hard to explain, but like that just, to me, it's the perfect balance of what we used to love about it and what we still love about it. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
It's so good.
What do you make of currently on Miami, you know, Dr. Nicole's sort of like, in it, she rubs Marisol and Alexia the wrong way. Clearly, they are not fans of her. Where do you stand on that? Because like I love them as OGs, but Nicole is coming for the crown, I think, you know.
I love them as OGs, and like I think they are just stellar. And this is where it gets tricky for me in Miami, because there's no one, like, even when I'm on someone else's side, I still love the opposite player.
Yeah.
So Dr. Nicole, I did like her last season. This season, she really has showed out, and I have to respect and admire that. And especially like even with Larsa, I'm like, I knew her more so from the Kardashian world, and I didn't like her at all. Now I love her and I get her more, and her, she's just weird and like the best way. So there's truly no one I dislike, and there's no one I'm not rooting for. So I love them all. I think Dr. Nicole was an amazing addition,
me
and
too.
This cast like needs to be bottled and cloned,
protected
and
at all
to every
costs.
Sitter yes. in the world.
Yes, totally. And then, I mean, with Larsa, it's interesting because I agree. Like last season, even I wasn't super sure mm-hmm. about what we were getting from her. And my theory about that, and it kind of ties into like the Kardashians, is like she came back after 10 years. She was mm-hmm. known as Kim Kardashian's ex-best friend, and she knew she was going to have to talk about that last yes. season. And I think that she was wary of that. She probably signed some sort of NDA to not talk about so many details. But then she kind of got through it. She talked about it last season. Mm-hmm. She's over the hump. And now I feel like it's unlocked something in her. It's like she's tapped in like a different way. Even if she's like spreading so false rumors, she's still tapped in, and I appreciate it.
It's like even she left a comment on something the other day being like, yeah, Dr. Nicole needs to be quiet. I know the doctor she slept with, and you know, I'm not gonna let her ruin my Saturday. Have a blessed Saturday. Like all this stuff.
Have a blessed Saturday.
Just, have a blessed Saturday. She's just like, she's literally whatever she thinks, and it's so casual. She's like, well, I heard you are sleeping with half the doctors. I mean, that's just what I heard. It's literally her saying, I heard bananas are $1.99 now.
Right.
It's very
totally.
It's so fascinating.
It's fascinating.
I also love how she obviously, like, she just is not someone who gets like worked up, even when mm-hmm. she's worked up. She's so low energy that everything she says is that much funnier and more impactful.
I
because
agree.
Like you said, Mariah, it's just so chill all the time. She never raises her voice. She doesn't get flustered. She's still.
It's all about the delivery. Yeah.
Yes. Like even when she got that invitation on the mirror, she was like, mirror, mirror on the wall. Like she's just like so flat affect. It's amazing.
Totally. I'm curious if Chloe watches, because we know she watches Housewives. I wonder if she's watching Miami.
I feel like she does, and I feel like the Kardashian sisters are sending each other clips of Larsa.
I would do sick things to see that group chat.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
Before we wrap it up, I mean, so we talked about Potomac. Potomac, I agree. I think that the casting is what really hits it out of the park for them. I mean, they have four OGs still around, seven seasons in, which is unheard of on these shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but I'm wondering. Because I think this season we saw a lot of like spreading of like really kind of thin rumors or like thin claims or what have you. And obviously we see with the Robin Dixon situation kind mm-hmm. of after the show ends, she puts the information about the real cheating scandal behind a paywall on her podcast. What do you make of that whole thing? What do you make of when she went on Watch Happens Live? Because to me, it's very telling about sort of where the show as a whole sort of stands and sort of how they're all approaching it.
I think it's interesting because you definitely notice which franchises tend to be the most affected by, as they say, the blogs. Like it's on a sliding scale for the Housewives. Like Beverly Hills, they had the whole Radar Online, Lucy Apple Juicy season, but they don't tend to really veer into that territory too much.
Right.
Whereas Atlanta cares a little bit more about the blogs. Miami cares more about the news, like Page Six type thing. Same with New York. Like they're like Page Six, Page Six, Page Six. So I think it's kind of interesting how, to me, the Potomac women, what sets them apart is that, yes, they were talking about a lot of thin rumors, but this is what sets them apart. It's that no matter what they talk about, it's the way that they do it. That is the art.
Sure. Yeah.
It's the way that they speak mm-hmm. to each other. It's the way that they go about things. That's what we're watching for. It's not really about what they're talking about. It's how they make their way to the topic and how they go through life. And I think as far as Robin is concerned, I am an unapologetic, although reluctant to say it in this climate, Robin Dixon stan.
Okay.
And it's a tough time to be a Robin Dixon stan. But I do think, she did put the stuff behind the paywall, but is she not still feeding the machine? Does she not still go and watch What Happens Live? Is she not still setting us up for a great season 8?
Is she
not still setting us up for conversation? She's still feeding us material. It's not like she went silent and turned off her page. So I stand with her. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. And I think we are still in a good spot.
Yeah, I think you're right about season 8. It's sort of like it's going to be the taking Robin to task season. And I hope that they deliver on that. Yeah.
But I can't wait to see what else she does. Robin's gone tech, to quote Karen Huger.
Robin has gone tech. Exactly. Well, you know, I feel like I could talk to you guys for 5 hours, but this was so much fun. Where can people listen to Smith Sisters Live? Do your plugs that you need to do, because everyone needs to check it out.
You can listen to us Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern on Radio Andy, SiriusXM Channel 102. You can also listen on demand. You can follow me and Mariah online at MSLAS for me on all platforms, and for Mariah on Instagram. She's at Mariah, 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 and on Twitter at MRiah, which is basically Mariah without the first day.
Love yeah. it.
See, there you go.
Well, thank you guys so much. This is so much fun. Have a good rest of your week, and we'll chat soon.
Thank you so much.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to We Should Talk. I hope you enjoyed the interview. You can find out more about In The Know at inthenow.com. You can follow me, Gibson John, at Gibsonoma on Twitter and Instagram. And you can listen to all of our interviews, past and future, by searching We Should Talk wherever you get your podcasts. Hope to see you next time.